You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith. So do you ever feel like you're swimming in mediocrity? You know you're better than that, but your profits aren't showing it. And we all have this happen to us. And that's because we've got blind spots. And sometimes we need somebody to help us work through those blind spots. So my guest today is not only the managing director of the year of our eWomen Network chapter in Colorado Springs, but she is a productivity and efficiency expert. And she uses her teaching background to help you achieve those goals and get past stuck and get unstuck and move forward and upward. So please welcome Julie Davis. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Phyllis.
So glad to have you here.
I am so glad to be here. I've been so excited about this interview. I just thank you so much for having me.
We're lucky to have you at eWomen Network and the work you've been doing and your chapter at Colorado Springs. And, you know, you're amazing. For sure.
Thank you.
So you had your first job out of college. You were teaching in Yuma, Arizona. Isn't there like a movie about Yuma, Arizona or something? Some kind of Western?
There was a movie called Yuma 3.
Right.
But every spaghetti Western from like way back when, they were always escaping from the Yuma Territorial Prison.
And funny. So that's where you live. That's where you had your first teaching job. And that makes sense. Your first job is always the one that is either like in the armpit of the nation or you're making a dollar. So you followed
exactly.
The correct path. But what did that experience do for you in shaping you and carving out the person you are today?
Well, that experience was, it was so different. I grew up in a very affluent town in Colorado, a ski town, and went to a very affluent college and had never really experienced a poor place. And to move down to Yuma where, you know, we're 22 miles from Mexico, we were 5 miles from the border of California, and be thrown into a classroom and into a school where the books were probably close to 20 years old. There were no teacher editions, you know, where you write your name in your textbook. It was like those lines plus the end of the page plus flip the page, and they were all down the back of the page. And so I just got to work. I mean, what do you do? So I just pulled all my resources from what I had learned from my teachers in high school. I thought about what we had done and what I had learned through my education. And just, I always say I pulled out my Apple IIe and my dot matrix printer. I got to work. And so just started creating what I needed. I started creating those critical thinking exercises and started putting together projects for my kids to do and essays that they could write and just worked with what I had. So when I went back to Colorado and ended up in a more affluent school, it was, and I had a teacher's edition. I looked at it and I was like, oh, well, I could have written this. And it was a confirmation that I had been doing things right. But really that experience for me was so much about fortitude and perseverance, and came out knowing that I had what it took to be really good at what I set out to do. And it didn't matter that I had nothing to work with, and it didn't matter that my kids didn't have anything. And I was in a situation too where 60% of my kids were Hispanic, and many of them crossed the border to come to school every day. And their parents were like, you have my kid 8 hours a day. He has to come home and work in the fields, or she has to come home and cook for her family, for all her siblings. And so they're not going to be doing homework. So I had to really readjust how I thought and adjust to a new culture. And so I think it just has made me extremely adaptable to different situations, depending on what it calls for.
That is so important, having flexibility, knowing that we are going to be faced with challenges, and either you can give up and walk away, or you can be creative. And it sounds to me that you have a creative mind, that you can think through things. Even in your first teaching job, you didn't have the experience to know what to do. You just kind of, figured it out along the way. So
yes,
that's great. How we'll get into that later about how you now apply that in your own business. But before we do, this was not the first time that you faced a challenge like that. You moved from teaching working for a company as an independent contractor. Tell us, how did that transition take place, or why? And then what happened with that company?
Well, I left teaching when I had a baby. So I left and had my son, and realized about 5 months in that I'm not a stay-at-home mom kind of girl, and had to find something to do, but still wanted to be home with our son. And so I joined a company, a multi-level marketing company, and moved up in the ranks pretty quickly to be a leader, and built a really strong team, had a really strong sales, personal sales and sales force on my team. And this was through the recession. I started my business in 2008. And so it wasn't easy, but I also didn't know any different, didn't know any better. So I just did what I knew I needed to do. And so after I had been doing that business for six years, the company closed its doors overnight. We had a business and Black Friday, Thanksgiving Day, all of that. And then December 1 just said, we're shutting our doors.
My
with
goodness.
We had no idea. There were some, if you look back, you see indications, but you really believed that they were on the up and up and they would have told us, and they didn't.
Wow.
So I had no income overnight.
Oh my goodness. Can I just ask you then, was your income important to supporting the family?
Yes. My income was, my husband had just retired. So, and he had not launched his business yet. He has another business now too. So he had retired from teaching and was trying to figure some things out. And I was making almost half our income for the family.
So when let me ask you then. Okay, so they shut the doors. You're like, now what? So so you obviously rebounded.
I did.
But what was the process for that rebound? I think there's a really important lesson here that, in terms of resilience and how important resilience is. So tell us about the rebound.
Well, I need to first and foremost say that I was part of eWomen Network then, and I don't believe I would have been able to do what I've done without it. And it's an unabashed, unapologetic, that's what it was. And that's what eWomen Network means to me. So much deeper than people might realize. But for me, the rebound was...
Before you go on... Uh-huh. I do want to know, back then, so you were a member of eWomen Network.
Yeah.
So what was it that helped you, that kept you going?
That's a good question. So when you're in network marketing, you have a community of people around you who are your teammates, who are your leaders, who are your people. And so many of the women that were on that ride with me lost, we all lost our whole community. We lost everything. But the first people to reach out to me, I hadn't said a word. They just heard it through the grapevine that my company had closed. The first people to reach out to me were the eWomen Network. What can we do? How are you? I think you should read this book. You know, all these things. And I went for 5 months. I kept going to our meetings and I didn't have anything to offer. I just was there to hold on and figure out what I wanted to do. So that was a huge part of my rebounding, but it also gave me permission to explore options. And because of the things that they were talking to me about and throwing, these women were throwing my way, books that I should read, tests that I should take, all these things. It became an exploration of what are my strengths and passions.
Yes. And women entrepreneurs, we could be very bossy, but bossy in a good way.
Bossy in a very loving way. But it truly became, and I had already started feeling itchy before my company closed. I had already had these inklings of, you know what, I really miss teaching. The things I love most about what I'm doing right now are the trainings, the leadership trainings, all the stuff that I was doing at conference to train, at national conference. Those were the things that were filling me up and not the selling. And so I started thinking about what was it that are truly my gifts and passions. And I am at my very core, an educator, a teacher. And so I also knew, and this goes back a little bit to Arizona and me as a teacher, but I also knew that I'm very organized and I'm very good at helping others figure out their priorities and making space so that they can do the things they want to do as well as the things that they have to do, need to do. And so I created a business out of it, and eWomen Network embraced me and filled me up and put me in front of the right people. And I have an amazing business because I have followed my passion and my heart.
And I think it's important. It's your passion, but also we all have gifts. So, you know, if you're listening or you're watching and you are in that place where maybe your company closed its doors, or you're itching to get out of your company, or you're in a business, even your own business, that just might not feel like the right fit. I think what Julie is saying is to God, what lights your fire? What puts a smile on your face? What makes you feel like it's just timeless. You know, the kind of thing that you do when you don't realize what time it is. Next thing you know, 3 hours have passed.
Right. And I think too, Phyllis, the other important part of that is if a block gets put in your way, it's really important to find the door that the universe is opening. Like, why did you get kicked in the butt? Why did you get slapped in the face? It's not a why me. It's like, oh, okay. What's next? My husband was like, well, I guess the universe just gave you a message loud and clear. You better stop just talking about what you might want to do and find out what you want to do.
So. I love him. That's great. That's great. You know, So the other thing that I learned about you is that this is so cool. So you were a ski racer through college. Now, you said you grew up in Colorado. I guess everybody there skis. So let's just face it. You're going to ski if you live in Colorado. Yeah. But you were a racer. So tell us about that and how that sport taught you and what it taught you in terms of being in business.
So I grew up in a ski town. It was a town then. It's bigger than a town now. It's Breckenridge, Colorado. And so was on skis when I was very, very young and started racing when I was 9. And racing is a really different sport than anything you do. You have you have a lot of adversaries, even though it's an individual sport. The mountain is your adversary. The course that they set for you is your adversary. And you've got to figure out a way to work with them in order to propel yourself as quickly as possible. And just getting a little off balance can toss you completely out and you don't finish, but you have to get up and do it again tomorrow if you're going to be successful. And what I learned from that sport was one little blip is not the end. There's a lot of races in a season, a lot of races in a season. And just because I didn't finish one doesn't mean I can't finish the other 15. And and in college you're seeded. So just because I didn't get in the seed that I wanted to be in and started at nationals one year, my coach put me in the bottom seed and I really didn't know why. And I was really mad. And so I started 83rd. And I finished that race in the top 20. I was 17th in the nation, in our division at the end of that race.
What?
Yeah.
I love this about you. I just love learning this about people. This is that's incredible. You really are a come from behind woman.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No reason to stop. Why, get mad, get up and go.
Yeah. And you know, I think sports in general does that. I mm-hmm. see that. I see people who've been in who are athletes. There is a mindset. There is a mindset that athletes have, or even if you're not, just if you were in sports in school, whatever it is, there's a mindset. There's a competitive mindset. There's a fighting through the challenge there. I'm too tired to train, but I'm going to anyway kind of thing. And, mm-hmm. and I think overall that's helpful. I really do.
I agree.
And even if you're not one of those in athletics, but like my son was in the band and the marching band and they have to work really hard and it's exhausting. And, you know, they go in at 6 a.m. and they're there 14 hours a day, on game day. And, it's really great. I think just overall, I mean, it's kind of a sidebar, but getting your kids to do that early on, because yeah. I think you become a fighter.
You do. And for you to, and it's really so much about learning to fight through what's so hard. And when you don't think you can take one more step and you don't think you can do as an adult, I've done other sports and it's just where you're so tired that the tears come, you're so exhausted and you can't control them, but you keep going regardless. There's something about that that teaches us so much about business.
It's true. And, back in the day when I skied, I mean, I was nothing like you, but I remember skiing, particularly the moguls. It's real interesting when you say like you have all these adversaries. Yeah. And I remember skiing a mogul course and how, if you tried to fight it, you'd fall. Like you have to really bend your knees and you have to kind of go with it so that mm-hmm. you're in the groove. And in a way that is a metaphor for life, right? If you try to fight and resist change or the unknown, what ends up happening is nothing. You resist and you go nowhere.
Right.
So
it takes you down. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to take a short break. And when we come back, you're going to give us some tips on, based on all these things that you've learned and what you're talking to us now about adaptability and how you can apply that into your business and achieve the goals that you really desire and that you are worth achieving.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Phyllis Smith with the Spotlight on eWomen Network, and I'm talking with Julie Davis. She is the Managing Director of the Year. She got the award last year this past summer at our conference. And she is the managing director of our Colorado Springs chapter. And she's been telling us about experience she's had as a teacher in Yuma, Arizona, going from a very, growing up in a very rich, affluent neighborhood, going to this very poor neighborhood where most of the kids had to cross the border from Mexico, and how she had to just adapt and come up with creative ways to teach and make a difference. And then she lost her work, for this network marketing company. They closed their doors all of a sudden. And she's had to adapt. And all this adapting has helped Julie grow and this resilience, in addition to the support, of course, that she got from eWomen Network, really helped keep her afloat and move forward and upwards. Sandra says it's not about moving forward, it's about moving upward, right? If we just go forward, we're staying at the same level. And some of you might be very happy doing that. So no shame. No shame in that. But others, if you get that feeling in you, like, hey, I feel like I could do better than this, but I don't know how. I don't know my first step or my next step. And you might even be in business for a while and have been an entrepreneur for a while, but there's something in you. There's an itch, and you need someone to help you with those, navigate those blind spots. So that's who Julie Davis is. That's what she does. And so, Julie, you are a productivity expert, and one of the things that you became a productivity expert was your experience as a teacher. So tell us how that all happened. How did your teaching influence?
Absolutely. So, When I was teaching, I taught English, high school English, and I would say English and math teachers do more work at home than anyone out there as far as teachers go. They work extremely hard. English teachers have a lot of essays to grade. Math teachers have a lot of math problems, all those steps. And so what I found when I started teaching was that these teachers were working so hard and so long, like way into the night every night, and then all weekend long every weekend. And I'm gonna be straightforward, transparent with you, Phyllis, and everyone out there. I am just selfish enough that I like to do things for me, that there was no way I was doing that. So I was gonna figure out a way to not do that, and not have my students suffer for it. So I watched a lot of teachers work themselves just into a frenzy, and also teachers who never gave papers back to their kids. And those students would never see their work again graded. And how unfair is that they did the work, but you didn't.
So, right. And how do they know if they've achieved their own goals? I mean,
exactly.
So it's really amazing. Go ahead.
So what I did was I created systems in my classroom where certain things got turned in and certain things didn't. And I taught enough different classes that I never had stuff due at the same time. Essays for first period were never due on the same week as essays from third period. And so I wasn't grading 120 essays at one time. And I also figured out a way to spot check certain things, make sure they were doing the work, but the things that they needed growth in were the things that I made sure I was getting full, they were getting my full attention on. But at the same time, I did not work on the weekends. Maybe Sunday afternoon I would do some grading, but I just really made it so that there was a flow and a system and responsibility on my part to the students. But I had to fill myself up so that I could fulfill that responsibility too.
Well, what's really amazing about that is that it's not amazing. What it is it's about self-care. And that if you don't take care, it's like you had, they might not have been your own biological children, but they were your children. And mm-hmm. So if we give and give ourselves away, whether it's our children or children that we have in a classroom, then we have nothing left for ourselves. And that doesn't make us happy and doesn't make us fulfilled. And what you did is found this balance. It's this balance of being able to do the work and do a great job and help these kids grow and get smarter, which was your goal, teach them how to read and write. And which is critical to your life. And you were able to have your own life. And so what a brilliant thing. So how then does that apply now with your clients that you have in your business? How do you take that and now translate that into your coaching clients?
So what I have done through the years, I have taken so many classes and read so many books and trained in different areas. And so I've taken bits and pieces of all of that in productivity and created it for the entrepreneur and put curriculum, if you will, together, programs together to help them figure out how to make space for themselves in their business. Because entrepreneurs especially feel like we all feel like nobody can do it as well as we can, which many times that's true, but there's also many things that don't need to be done as well as we do them. And so it's looking at, Sandra always says, do those things that only you can do. And that's what I teach them how to do. And if they get up against that roadblock where they know they're supposed to do something more, something better, something bigger, I'm going to turn sideways. You get so you're right here and you can't see your way out. You can't see your way through. So I teach them ways to back off, back up, so that if they're hitting their head against that door, they can back up and go, oh, there's a window right over here. Why am I not going through that? So it's just finding a way to take a breath and look at things from a different perspective and a different way. Is there another way? And what small piece of what you feel like you don't have control over, do you actually have control over? And do that.
You call yourself a trainer, not mm-hmm. a coach. Tell us the difference.
So I wrote a whole blog on this and did a bunch of research about it. What's the difference between a strategist, a coach, and a trainer? And a coach is someone who generally works with their clients one-on-one and is teaching them a lot of times back-end systems and different kinds of system, like business type systems. And a trainer, when I was doing my research, is someone who works often in a group setting, which is where I thrive. And what I love is that group setting. So, and I'm taking processes and systems that are within you, not without you, not outside of you, and imparting them into my clients, into the group, so that they can walk away and have me on their shoulder saying, excuse me, is that the most important thing you need to do? Excuse me, is that in your big three today or whatever it might be? So I'm really giving them new patterns and habits to walk away with and instill in them so that they can keep doing those when they leave me.
When you talk about working with a group, are you talking about like doing a Zoom call, or are you talking about you have like an online program? What is it that you have?
I run a live 6-month program, heart to heart, face to face, person to person. And I am just launching in January a Zoom version of that, where there is that live connection. It is not online automated. I feel very strongly that it's important for me to know their businesses and know what they are all about so that I can make what I'm saying and doing very, I was just an English teacher. I can't come up with the word. Customized, very customized to each of their businesses and their own bad, if you want to quote unquote, bad habits that they have so that I can help them. And they help each other. It's very, it's very mastermindy.
Tell me, mastermindy. I like that. That's a good word. So, one last thing before you leave, in a nutshell, what can somebody do right now? Because one of the things you did when you were a teacher and you figured out how not to work on weekends, but you still could be a good teacher. What would be one thing that people who struggle with time management, what can they do today, as soon as they stop watching or listening to this interview, what can they do to help manage their time better?
I would like you to remember the 3 D's. When you look at everything that's on your list that you need to do in a day, in a week, however long your list is, your 3 D's are do it, delegate it, or dump it. And the do it's are the things that only you can do. Those are the do it's. And you can only do a couple in a day. And then the delegate it's are who else can do that. And it can be as simple as who else can grocery shop for you? Who else can go to the dry, you know, those little things that are on your list that you really aren't the only person that can do. And then the dump it's are what's been on your list for months and months that just really clearly is not that important. Get rid of it.
Very simple. I love it. Do it, delegate, dump it. Perfect.
You got it.
All right. On that, thank you so much. We just did it. I just so enjoyed our conversation. If you want to reach out to Julie, you can find her at juliemillerdavis.com. Or Julie, do you want Julie at juliemillerdavis.com as well is her email address. So Julie, thank you so much for being with us today. I feel like people who watched or listened to this can walk away right away and start working on their 3 D's.
Thank you so much, Phyllis. I really enjoyed this.
My pleasure. And it was a pleasure to have you. And it's a pleasure to have you up there managing our Colorado Springs chapter. Thank you. And congratulations for being Managing Director of the Year. That
thank
is not easily
that.
Done.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Feel like you're drowning in administrivia? Do you have a podcast you would like transcribed to repurpose as a blog or even a best-selling book? Rhonda's Virtual Office is the answer to the freedom you crave so you can get busy doing what you love. Let Rhonda's Virtual Office give you the relief you need. Visit rhondasvirtualoffice.com and get some peace of mind today. Rhonda's Virtual Office is the go-to transcription service for EWN Podcast Network.
You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.